A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 36 through 56. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came back and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word today, we welcome Pastor Robert Riggs, Hope Lutheran Church, Sunbury, Ohio.
Talk is cheap. You have to walk the talk. Just do the best you can. With such well-intended thoughts, someone might strive to encourage others or themselves. But if these self-improvement sentiments were all we had, we'd be in trouble. More than that, we'd be on a path to destruction. We need something more. We need someone more, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture lesson is an example of the disciples striving to live beyond cheap talk. In the verse just before today's reading, they stated their resolve. Our Lord had warned them that they would all desert him that night. Peter exclaimed, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." All the disciples said the same thing. All the disciples were there when Jesus was arrested. They attempted to walk the talk. One of them drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest. He cut off his ear. We know from John's gospel that it was Peter. Peter was a fisherman by trade, not a skilled swordsman. He didn't try to pluck an ear as a warning. His goal was to do whatever he could to protect Jesus. He did the best he could. His best just wasn't good enough. If they were all willing to do their best, could they possibly be a match against a crowd of trained and equipped soldiers? More importantly, with their best efforts, how could the scriptures possibly be fulfilled? So they did exactly what they said they would not do. They ran. Best efforts, good intentions, far from good enough. How often have your best intentions been far short of what's needed? As a society, we strive to win the war on cancer with medical research. Yet while cancer still threatens us, a new enemy, a virus called Ebola, confronts the world. We long for peace as we read of the horrors of ISIS. Sometimes even peace in our own homes or workplaces seem like an exercise in taking many steps backwards or sideways, as much as we can take steps forwards. How do we win the battle against death? How do we have right relationships with each other and with our God? How do we face our daily tasks? By ourselves, our best is not good enough. But thanks be to God, we are not left to ourselves. We have a Savior. Notice that the disciples left the upper room confident in their resolve. Jesus went to the garden, seeking the Father's strength for his task. He prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Soon he would go from being face down in prayer to looking the high priest in the eye. He would make clear that he is far more than a teacher. He is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. Pilate would marvel that before the Roman governor, he didn't seem deeply distressed. He proclaimed to Pilate that his kingdom was of another world, and all those that were of the truth would listen to his voice. He would face the great anguish of being forsaken of his Father on the cross. He would drink the cup of God's wrath so that our sins could be paid for. All this he did after his time of distress and anguish in the garden. Jesus' prayer in the garden is an example of prayer, yet it's more than that. It's a testimony that he alone could pay the price for sin. He fulfilled the scriptures so that he can speak to us through the scriptures today and proclaim to us that while our best will never be good enough, through faith in him, we are fully and completely forgiven. He strengthens and equips us for every task of every day. And at the end of the day, he calls us to rest in his grace, in his peace. Let us acknowledge his presence often, for he is far more than an encourager. He is our beautiful Savior.
We thank Pastor Robert Riggs for today's meditation on God's Word.